The Fan on Demand. Go ahead. Poke the Blair. This is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Two of a kind. For your information, we're two of a kind.
Two of a kind. It's my observation. We're two of a kind.
Like peas in a pod.
And birds of a feather. Alone or together, you'll find that we are two.
It's 9 o'clock on the Jeff Blair Show. In for Mr. Blair. That's George Russick. I'm Jeff Sammet. Sportsnet 590. The Fan. The Blue Jays won yesterday. Yeah, 9-5. Toronto Blue Jays win it.
And they won with R.A. Dickey on the mound.
And we're feeling better about ourselves today.
No, listen to that. R.A. Dickey pitched. He pitched. And they still won.
R.A. Dickey is what he is. My expectations, they've been tempered. Not by everybody, clearly, but they've been tempered. And with R.A. Dickey on the mound, the Blue Jays needed to score some runs. So they did. And they won.
I like that.
And certainly it makes an off day today feel a heck of a lot better.
And clearly the universe was on the Blue Jays' side because the moon's gravitational pull was working in Milwaukee for R.A. Dickey's knuckleball to work.
You really don't like R.A. Dickey.
No.
Really,
so
really
what?
Don't
He's
like
a
R.A. Dickey.
Guy in his late 30s with the trick pitch. Should be near the front
of
the rotation.
He is what he is. He's not a Cy Young guy.
Oh, wait, he did win a Cy Young.
He's not a Cy Young guy anymore.
Right. Because his arm really, really, you know, he doesn't throw that high 90s fastball anymore.
No, not
his
anymore.
Arm, all that wear and tear on his arm from his Cy Young year, Jeff.
Not anymore.
Things have really changed.
It's been a little while since that's happened.
Right.
Well, we'll talk Toronto Blue Jays this hour. Next hour, we're going to delve into some NHL hockey and talk about the captaincy and whether or not that is overrated. Mark Spector of Sportsnet.ca is going to be amongst our guests. And, of course, a lot of NFL talk. We'll mix that into the show as well. Sammy Watkins is going to join us of the Buffalo Bills. Isn't that great?
Awesome.
I hope he's as exciting on the phone as he is on the field. He's going to join us in the 11 o'clock hour, and the newest Toronto Raptor, Jordan Hamilton. We'll get to know him towards the end of the show as we're with you until noon on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Talking Toronto Blue Jays and looking around Major League Baseball a little bit as well. John Morosi of Fox Sports joining us on the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. John, you feeling a little bit better about the Toronto Blue Jays these days and seeing them win yesterday in Milwaukee? They're 4.5 games out of a wild card spot as it is right now. Give it to us. The chances of the Toronto Blue Jays making the playoffs. Like, would you be absolutely shocked at this point if they did make the playoffs? Where are you at there?
I would be surprised.
Okay.
I just think the way things have gone, first of all, the division is all but out of reach. I think the Orioles have put enough distance there between themselves and the Blue Jays and the Yankees as well, for that matter, that the AL East is a fait accompli at this point in time for Baltimore. I think when you talk about the second wild card, which realistically is probably what the Blue Jays are playing for at this point in time, I think the Tigers have a better chance. You look at their rotation. They have a stronger rotation than Toronto does. Now, obviously, Detroit has some bullpen concerns. But, again, Seattle's rotation is very good, better rotation than what the Jays have. And I think, again, the way the Jays have played in general since the trade deadline has not really inspired me very much to believe that they're going to make the playoffs. Now, all that being said, if the goal was to have meaningful games in September and bring at least a pennant race back to Toronto for the first time in a very long time, I think they are doing that. They have done that. They're going to get to the start of September with at least a chance, I think. But I have a really hard time imagining they're going to close this thing out. Now, the one thing I will add is, obviously, the injury last night to Garrett Richards could change the entire dynamic here in the AL wildcard race and certainly in the AL playoff picture as well, because he had been the Angels' best pitcher this season. So I should say that, you know, the mix of teams in the wild card could be changing here a little bit, but still I feel pretty strongly at this point in time the Jays might make it interesting, but they're not going to make the playoffs.
John, surprising to some Blue Jay fans now is the Cleveland Indians. Where the hell do the Cleveland Indians come from, and what kind of job is Terry Francona doing there?
Well, Terry Francona, he really is one of the great managers in the game, and obviously he got Manager of the Year last year for a reason, and he's in a division where the Tigers and the Royals have certainly gotten most of the attention this year, and the Indians, in fact, as you recall, they traded Justin Masterson at the trade deadline. They traded Ezdrubal Cabrera at the trade deadline. And here they are, three games over 500, with, at least according to Fangraphs.com, an 8.3% chance to make the playoffs. So, I mean, you're right. They may be, and depending on how the schedule shakes out, they may be an even stronger candidate to make the second wild card than the Blue Jays because of just the way things shake out with the schedule. And obviously they have Corey Kluber, who's probably, if I had to fill out a Cy Young ballot today, I would have Felix number one and probably Kluber number two. I mean, he has been that good in the American League this year, still underrated to a certain extent. He's been magnificent. The Indians, I give Terry Francona a ton of credit. Nick Swisher, of course, out as well. But Michael Brantley is having a very, very good year. He may get some MVP votes on the top 10 on somebody's ballot as we look at here to November.
You know, John, we've talked about trade deadline activity, non-waiver trade deadline activity in the Blue Jays not entering into that fray. And especially when you talk about Price being dealt and Lester being dealt. It's something we've talked about. But looking at this month, you know, everybody that I talked to had anticipated that there would be a lot of movement in August beyond the non-waiver trade deadline. Really haven't seen a heck of a lot of that. Does that come as a surprise to you?
There have been a few moves, which seems somewhat typical. The Dodgers, of course, added Kevin Correa and Roberto Hernandez. The Royals added Josh Willingham this month. So there have been a couple moves here and there. But you're right, there hasn't been a major one. And really, unless a team like the Phillies decides they want to unload one of their large contracts, which seems as though it's not going to happen, I don't think we're probably going to see a huge superstar name come out right now in the month of August. So, you know, and it's one of those things where, again, it's difficult to do it because you got to get the player through waivers. I think the game overall, it's in a very healthy place financially. So as a result, you have maybe fewer teams that need to move a player for financial considerations to get out from the last 2 months of his salary, or as sometimes is the case, multiple last years of the salary. And you also have more teams that are comfortable putting in claims because they're not so worried about the financial consequences. Because, of course, if you claim somebody, it's effectively saying, well, if this team gives up this player today, I have to be ready to take on all of the remaining money left on this contract. And there are more teams that are willing to do that. So I look at the Pirates last year, the moves they made in August when they got John Buck and Marlon Byrd. They made a couple moves that really helped their club get to the playoffs. So you can certainly make an incremental upgrade. And in fact, Josh Willingham has hit very well this month for the Royals. So I give Kansas City a lot of credit for that particular move they made. And the Dodgers now, with this concern about Zach Greinke getting bumped back and Ryu on the DL and Beckham in the DL, they may need to make another pitching move before all is said and done. So certainly I think that you can make an upgrade on the pitching side. And I really would I would think the Jays are still trying to do that because, as you both know, their rotation has disappointed them a bit here in the month of August.
National baseball writer for Fox Sports, John Paul Morosi, here on the Jeff Blair Show. That's Jeff Salmon. My name is George Russick. John, is that name a guy like Bartolo Colon? We keep seeing his name being thrown about there, and he's owed a lot of money next season. Is Bartolo Colon still the New York Met by the end of this month?
You know, he's a prime trade candidate, George, and I think that he's one name that would make a lot of sense for the Jays. Again, I'm not exactly sure where the waiver claim process sits on him right now, but he's a guy that certainly he has a background in the American League. He's had a lot of success in the American League over the years, and the Mets are in something of an interesting position because they do have some younger pitching coming. They expect Matt Harvey to be back next year. And that might be the one area where if they're able to trade Colon to a club and maybe get some young outfield talent back, that could really have a positive effect on that club here going forward. So I think that's a really nice possibility. And maybe for the Jays, depending on where things stand in the waiver process. But I think Colon, of all the players out there that could help somebody's rotation. He's done it before. He was on a postseason team last year. And again, I would add the Los Angeles Dodgers to that mix as well, because of course with trade waivers you do go through your own league first. So if that's the case, the Dodgers would have a chance to claim Bartolo Colon before the Jays would. So it may be a bit of a difficult move for the Jays to make, just because there probably will be a couple of National League teams willing to put a claim in on Bartolo Colon.
So the Blue Jays with 35 games left to go in this season, John, and it remains to be seen how they're going to play, obviously. And if they don't make the playoffs, if they come close, they play meaningful games in September, you would say, okay, well, they fell short. If they were absolutely brutal the rest of the way, well, then it was a downward spiral. It was a collapse. That's how it might be described, this Toronto Blue Jays season, especially towards the end. So it remains to be seen what's going to happen. But if the Blue Jays fall short, they don't make it to the playoffs, what then? What do you do if you're the Toronto Blue Jays? What kind of changes would you make with the roster? What direction would you decide to go? And who would be calling the shots? Does Alex Anthopoulos' job come into question? I don't think it should, but does it?
You know, a lot of great questions there, Jeff. I think one thing that the overall ownership and management have to think about is, again, and you mentioned Alex Anthopoulos, I think the farm system is in very good shape. Okay, Daniel Norris has pitched, as we've all seen recently, very well. He's come up and now joined Aaron Sanchez and Marcus Stroman in a place where you can reasonably look upon him as a possibility to pitch for you next season. And obviously Dalton Pompey has done a very good job coming up, the center fielder from Mississauga, through the farm system, so there's a lot of excitement about him. And when you really add everything together, the farm system's in a good place. Now the question is, what does that mean? Is the question, well, is Alex Anthopoulos not only the best GM to build the farm system to where it is right now, but to make those last two or three trades and moves to put us over the top? That could be a separate question. Again, I'm not qualified to answer that one, but I think that's one thing that ownership obviously is going to have to take a look at. I mean, I think Alex has done a very, very good job of building the farm system, but the separate question is, can he put those last finishing touches on a championship club, which I think this year at the deadline it was very quiet, and some may say that the Jays missed an opportunity there with the Yankees and the Red Sox in a bit of a down cycle. So, I mean, there's a lot of really interesting things to think about. I do look ahead to the offseason and say this: it was very wise, when you think about it, for Alex Anthopoulos to keep that group of pitchers intact. Sanchez, Stroman, Norris. They feel like that was the Jays' best chance to win a World Series is with that group, as opposed to trying to do the best you can with Dickey and Burley and whomever you can put in the rotation right now. Then it probably was wise to hang on to those three young men at this point in time and look to the future. And all that being said, Jeff, the overall payroll structure of this team is very, very sound. I believe the only player making serious money after next year is Jose Reyes in terms of a long-term contract. So the payroll structure is very good. And so that they're not burdened with a whole lot of massive contracts the way the Phillies are or anything like that. They're in a very good place. I think you probably give it one more go with Encarnacion and Batista, and you got to try to find some outfielders to replace Cabrera and Rasmus if they leave, and go for it maybe with a little bit of a younger ball club. But I do expect the Yankees and Red Sox will be back much better next year than they are right now.
Fox Sports, national baseball writer for Fox Sports, John Paul Morosi. John, thanks for doing this morning.
My pleasure, guys. Always great talking with you, and I'm excited about the start of hockey season coming up as well. As you know, I'm a hockey fan, so I'm
nice.
What I'm hearing on your airwaves about hockey is making me smile.
Well, then we could talk 24/7, 52 weeks out of the year. We don't have to take a vacation from talking to you in the off season.
Call me in January if you want. I'll be watching. There's no question about it. I'm excited about the season ahead, and should be great to watch everything on Rogers.
We'll talk hockey. Looking forward to it. There's John Paul Morosi of Fox Sports joining us on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. All right, 35 games left to go. It's such a critical time for the Toronto Blue Jays. Not only the season, but for the organization moving forward.
Mm.
Because there's many different directions. Obviously, they could be brilliant the rest of the way out, make the playoffs, and away you go. They could be all right, but just not quite good enough to make the playoffs the rest of the way. Or they could be absolutely terrible. If I had a vote, I think it would be the middle there. Because I don't think they've been at, I don't think they are as bad a team as they've been in August, but I don't think they're as good a team as they were in May. So it's going to be interesting to see what the identity of this team is for the next 35 games to see what the organization is going to be beyond this year.
The old adage, Jeff, you are what your record says you are.
Mm-hmm.
And the Blue Jays are just over 500, a team that's right there, as you mentioned. Not fantastic, not terrible. You just hope they can get hot down the stretch here and sneak into that second wild card spot. And a lot of interesting things said there by John Paul Morosi, especially the Sanchez, Stroman, and Norris thing.
Yeah.
Hold on to these guys and all these people who were calling us yesterday, freaking out that the Blue Jays didn't make a move at the deadline. Well, when a guy like J.P. Morosi comes on this radio station and says, hey, good thing they didn't make that move, keep that pitching, because that's the type of a rotation that can win this team a World Series.
A better chance.
I
love that.
Not guys like Mark Burley and, surprisingly, R.A. Dickey, which really surprised me that he threw
his
name in that
mix. Again with the R.A. Dickey. Again.
What?
Again. Again with the R.A. Dickey. They won yesterday. They won.
No,
I'm not going to revisit that. 416-870-0590.
You know when he's pitching, you got to swing the bat.
1-888-666-0590 or *590. And he did. And they did.
Yeah,
which was
right.
Which was fun to watch last night. Jose Bautista going yard, Colby as well.
Can we play Fantasy World for one
sec?
Yeesh.
Are we living in a fantasy world?
Pretty much.
Look what we're doing.
Let's just say the Blue Jays get into the tiebreaker to get into the playoff wild card game. Let's say they're in the tiebreaker.
Oh, who would be your pitcher?
R.A. Dickey's there. How nervous are you if you're a Blue Jay fan? You're hoping that Venus and Mars are aligned.
He's not my first pick.
The barometric pressure is ideal.
He's not my first pick, and I don't think he'd be anybody's first pick.
It might be his turn.
Yeah, it could be. Could be.
It'd be great.
But you know what you're going to get out of him? They're going to get some runs off you, and he's going to go six.
Or knowing my luck, he'll throw like a complete game one-hitter.
And
he would dazzle.
You know, for no other reason.
Right.
But just to rub your nose in
stick it,
I hope
me?
That happens.
You know, you do
like
that a
every
lot.
Every time R.A. Dickey goes on the mound,
yeah.
Every time I'm pulling for him just so I could talk to you about it.
You're such a small man.
Oh, very.
Eh?
Very.
You're so petty.
Same with Novak Djokovic. I root against
why,
him
you
to,
son of
to
a,
rub
why?
It in your face. By the way, did you see Djokovic on Letterman the other night?
No, I didn't.
He
was really good.
Yeah, he was really cool.
You know he speaks five really nice. Languages.
Well, he spoke one very well, and that was English.
Yes.
And he was talking about his childhood and growing up in, you know, a warlike atmosphere.
Yeah.
Not warlike.
Bomb shelter.
War atmosphere.
Yep.
It was very good. If you have a chance, find that online.
We'll have Tom Tabin on later on in the show. Talk a little U.S.
Okay.
Open.
Okay. I mean, I'm going to talk about
and people got to stop jumping off the Genie bandwagon and just slow your roll, but we'll talk about that.
I think some people have over the course of the last few weeks.
Because they don't know.
Anyway, we'll talk 10 sticks.
Because they don't know.
416-870-0590. We want to ask you, we're talking about the remaining 35 games for the Toronto Blue Jays, but let's whittle it down to their homestand. 9-game homestand they've got coming up. A 9-game homestand. What the Blue Jays need to accomplish in the next 9. 416-870-0590. 1-888-660-0590. Or *590. We welcome your comments. Heck, we have been throughout the duration of this show, which is only 18 minutes old. But we've been welcoming your comments on Twitter at RussicSN590, at JeffSammet590, what the Blue Jays need to do moving forward in this 9-game homestand. You're looking at 7 wins. That's your little magic number,
I think
number,
that's
right?
The bare minimum.
That's a target.
Because you and I were talking.
I mean, 9 is the target, but really.
That magical unicorn, that 90-win season, the Blue Jays got to go 25-10 the rest of the way. That's 7-14 baseball, which is on fire. And you have to start, and again, it's not like the best teams in all of baseball are coming into the Rogers Center. The Tampa Bay Rays have fallen off dramatically since hitting that 500 mark. The Boston Red Sox are slumping big time and have been the entire season. And the Yankees are so riddled with injuries. The Blue Jays should be able to take advantage of these three ball clubs. The only thing that worries me is they're all division rivals.
Yeah.
And you kind of, there's that little bit of extra jam in their bats trying to stick it to the division rival and essentially bury the Blue Jays. But Jeff, during this nine game homestand, we talk about 7 wins. The Blue Jays can essentially play themselves out of the wild card during this homestand as well.
Well, of course.
They go 2-7, shut down the season.
Well, yeah.
shut her down.
I hope that doesn't happen because I want a meaningful games in September. And you talk about the Blue Jays in taking on the East, 27-21.
Right.
That's good.
Sure.
That's good. It's not as good as 30-19 by the Baltimore Orioles, but it's good.
Six wins has to be the minimum in this 9-game homestand, I think, if you want realistic chances of at least staying right there to have a legit shot at grabbing that wild card.
That's winning every series, which you have to do.
And right.
Winning 2 out of 3 the next 3 series. That's realistic.
Sure.
7 would be better.
Problem is they haven't been great at home this season.
Yeah.
No, I'm not trying to be negative. You got to be realistic. You got to win a lot of ball
games.
At home,
they're 33-26. That's second best in the East. Only a win behind Baltimore as far as a home record is concerned. So it could be worse. It's on the road where they're 32-36.
And Baltimore's and the first half of the season, it was the opposite. They were winning all their games on the road and not so much the Rogers Center.
They're better. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, or *590. How's about Clifton in Etobicoke? He joins us on the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590. The fan, Clifton, what do the Blue Jays need to do the next 9 games at home?
Well, I'll tell you what. Tomorrow, I know they're going to win for sure. Tomorrow? They're going to win. All right. Stroman, he has a big game in him tomorrow. But here's the reason why I called. But I was listening to you and Morosi. They're talking about what's on the horizon for this team.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about this a couple of days ago. Now, you know how they say in basketball, sometimes you have to give up a good shot to get a better one? Now, the Blue Jays, going into last season, the expectations were so high. Now, this season, there was a lot of talk that if the team had gotten off to a slow start, both the GM and the manager would have been canned. Now, after they positioned themselves, I'm thinking that these guys started to think differently now. Because if they were to just get the second wild card, now, I don't think that would seem like much to the organization. So these guys would still be, like, on the hot seat. Now, if next season they were to make the playoffs, firmly make the playoffs, like win the division or the first wild card. Now, this would guarantee contract renewal for these two guys. You know, like a second wild card spot this year, I think would just have them, you know, playing out their contract. They would see what happens next year, and then they'll be good. How can you fire these guys next year if they solidly make the playoffs? It means 3 more years for each of these guys, at least.
All right, Clifton, it's as if you're slowly disappearing into space. It's getting quieter, and the sound is getting narrower, and like I believe you're like on the moon at this point. But thank you.
It's like in Gravity when George Clooney eventually just floats into space.
Yes.
And if you haven't seen that movie, sorry.
You were Sandra Bullock and you're George Clooney.
If you haven't seen that movie, sorry.
As far as the sound of your phone
totally ruined
is concerned.
For you.
So was his point, what was his point? Were you following?
Yeah, it was tough.
He was starting to lose me.
Alex Anthopoulos, John Gibbons. Listen, if this team makes it into the second wild card and lose one, these guys keep their jobs. Why wouldn't they? They're a playoff team.
If they don't make the playoffs, they can keep their jobs. I don't think there's any question that Gibby and Alex Anthopoulos comes back. There was a report about that earlier in the week, and I was like, that had to be reported? I haven't doubted that. I think Gibby's done a fantastic job, given all the injuries and what he's had to put up with. And the fact that the bullpen hasn't been the same. I think he's done a great job. Anthopoulos, I think we could be critical that he didn't go out and get that guy that would put you over the top.
Right.
But we weren't privy to the conversations that he would have had. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt, frankly.
I've been critical of Alex Anthopoulos in the past.
I've been critical for him about him since the offseason.
Both of us have. But if only we could look into the future 2-3 years from now, not doing something major at this deadline could pay dividends for the Toronto Blue Jays for years and years and years to come. Based on these three guys that they kept, John Paul Morosi just said it as well, Stroman, Sanchez, Norris, if these guys are those studs that the Blue Jays have at the rotation, imagine what this team can look like if all these guys live up to their potential and the Blue Jays finally have that starting rotation that can legitimately contend for a World Series. We could look back at this deadline and all the negativity surrounding it now and say, wow, thank goodness they didn't do anything because look at the fruits of our labor now. Look what this has produced, keeping these guys into the fold. Let them grow with this organization, and wow, are we a legit team in the American League East?
What would the East look like at that time, though? Because that's also part of the equation where Blue Jay fans are looking at Alex Anthopoulos and not making a move right now and saying, this is our window, this is our time. This
right.
This could be our year, because like John was saying a few moments ago.
Yeah, but you know what, Jeff? I don't buy
that. The Red Sox and Yankees are going to bounce back.
I don't buy that, though. Because the Blue Jays have the resources to keep their stars. We're not the Tampa Bay Rays where this window is open. And I agree with you. The window was wide open now. And the Baltimore Orioles just dove through it.
I just think many Blue Jay fans feel
that. But in regards to the Yankees and the Red Sox, but if the Blue Jays have all these players, they have the ability to keep these guys long-term financially. Teams like the Rays don't. They have to trade, like we saw the David Price deal. Eventually, they have to part with all their studs because they can't afford to keep them. The Blue Jays they're the exact opposite. They can keep what they want moving forward.
So why is it even a conversation of whether or not Melky Cabrera comes back next year? If they have this bottomless pit of money, which they don't, but if they have this bottomless pit of money to bring back Melky Cabrera, who's been their best player this year, then why is it even a conversation as to whether or not he comes back next year? He's going to get a lot of money. He's going to get something like $52 million or something.
But again, he's going to test free agency, obviously.
Yeah, and he should.
So why would he, and that mentality, then of course the Blue Jays, I'm sure, will offer something pretty substantial if they really believe in his ability.
I would hope.
But why wouldn't Melky Cabrera hit the open market off a fantastic season where we assume he's doing it, you know, clean as well?
Wouldn't it be nice, though, if he said, I love it here in Toronto. I love this team. I believe in this team. I want to sign a contract.
We don't know, because the Blue Jays did give him that chance. Fresh off the fiasco in San Francisco. You know, with his website.
Yeah, right.
Which you got to commend him at the same point, because that's going far and above.
Marks for creativity.
Yeah, right. You're creating your own website to mask what you're doing. But again, the Blue Jays did give him a chance. And you see the Dominican, you know, a lot of players are from the Dominican here. They have that camaraderie here. Maybe, I don't want to say hometown discount, because it doesn't really happen in baseball, because they just chase the dollars. And 95% of the time they go wherever.
He's going to go somewhere where he gets paid.
Right.
That's the general consensus when talking about a free agent or a pending free agent. But it would be, I'm just saying it would be nice.
What a hole he would leave at the top of the lineup, though.
That's what it should be, but oh my God.
A massive hole.
It's Melky Cabrera. All right, Sam in North York joining us on the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Sam, the next 9 games at home for the Toronto Blue Jays, what's your magic number? Like, what do they need to pull off here?
They need to pull off winning more games than the guys that they're trying to get past and gain ground on. That's the way I see it. There is no magic number. Obviously, I'd want them to go 9-0, but if everybody else craps the bed, then, you know, they can go 4-5 and still make up ground. That's just the nature of the beast. I'm calling in to address one thing that you guys just said a little bit earlier in the show, that sometimes you are what your record says that you are. And just to contend against that point, especially in regards to this year, first of all, I'm one of the few guys that believed going into the season that the Jays were going to be the real deal. I said this over and over. I called in shows. I was in agreement with Bob McCowan. I thought that this team last year, because of a bunch of, you know, reasons that you could point to, I guess you call them intangibles. What went wrong last year? Obviously, there were injuries that derailed the ability to come back. But what went wrong last year was, A, the entire baseball world had penned the Jays World Series winners before they even started spring training. In addition to that, Josh Johnson, that was probably the centerpiece of the trade, completely fizzled out, and J.P.R. and Cibia was just horrible. When you look at Josh Johnson and Aaron Cibia leaving this year, addition by subtraction. And I knew about Pierre Navarro a while ago. I knew that he was a very good catcher. I didn't think he would be this good. But I looked at those intangibles and I said, the Jays realized after last year that they aren't just going to have anything handed to them. Just because you put a bunch of guys with extreme talent on paper on one team together, that doesn't mean that you're going to win anything. And they understood that. And I said going into this year, and also there was the whole World Baseball Classic thing, which threw a bunch of guys out of their routine. So I said going into this year, this is going to be a damn good team, and they're going to be especially hungry for it after what happened last year and that everyone has such low expectations. Now, that being said, I don't think that looking at them right now at 65-62 is saying, hey, you know what? We've seen them for almost 2 years now. They've had one good month. This is who they are. No, they
after May, started to go into, I wouldn't say like a swoon, but they cooled off considerably, okay? And just at the point that we would have expected them to pull out and play really well, they started to lose guys. And the guys that they lost was number 4, 5, 6 in their order, and an excellent defender at third base and a really good defender at first base. That had a major impact on this team. I know that the pitching staff stayed healthy and has exceeded most people's expectations, and it was actually, ironically, the bullpen, which we all thought was going to be rock solid, that hasn't played up to snuff. But I don't think that it's fair to say that the Jays aren't the May of this year, or that they are a 65 and a 62. I think this season would have gone very differently had those guys stayed healthy, or maybe we only lost one of those guys. I think we'd be talking about right now the Jays fighting with the Orioles for the division and basically a lock for the first or second wild card, the same way that the Angels and Oakland Athletics are battling it out right now.
Yeah, but Sam, you know, to the same point, you look at the Orioles, and they haven't dropped any ground since losing Matt Wieters. They've lost Manny Machado for time this year. They've dealt with their injuries. Would they be as significant as the Toronto Blue Jays in terms of the numbers of players? Of course, that's debatable. But to say that they are what they are in May, that could have been the team the year, I don't think so. They were historically great in May. There is definitely a middle ground.
Listen,
there.
We've seen
definitely.
We've seen enough of this Blue Jays team. It's not like, you know, this is the first time we're watching this team and this is, you know, April of 2013. No. And for Sam to say, oh, this, and this is the reason why we're not good. This is the this is a very good team.
I mean, those are valid points. Yeah, they were hit
sure,
by injuries.
But we all said that everything has to go break right for the Toronto Blue Jays this season for them to have a great year. And their starting rotation has been okay the entire season up until recently, which it sucked. And that's why we've seen this horrible August so far. But to say this is a lot better, and to say this team is right there with the A's in the American League and the Orioles, nobody saw the Orioles being this good, by the way. But to be at the upper echelon of the American League, come on, that's just being silly. The Blue Jays are a team that is just right there, just barely hovering over that 500 mark, and you hope they can get hot, like in May, to charge into a playoff spot. But to say they're one of the you know, top teams in the American League, they're not. You just hope they can get hot, and there's potential for them to get hot, and you hope they can ride that hot streak into a playoff spot.
I think if healthy, they'd be a lot closer to a playoff spot. If not, they would have one right now. Like, I think they'd be that good. They'd be looking at 88 wins or so, given what we've seen and how good they were in May, and they're not as good as they were in May, but I think if healthy, and there isn't a team in baseball you can look at and say, wow, they were healthy the whole way through.
Yeah.
Everybody has injuries to varying degrees. The Blue Jays are certainly one of them. But had they had more luck with some health, yeah, I think we could realistically look at 87, 88 wins for this Toronto Blue Jays. I think that would have been the identity of the team. 416-870-0590, 1-888-660-0590, or *590. The next 9 games for the Toronto Blue Jays at home. How many do they need to win? We talk about it on the Jeff Blair Show. It's George Russick. I'm Jeff Sam, but Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
It's 9:41 on the Jeff Blair Show with George Russick. I'm Jeff Sambit, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. An update to our show lineup, but not in a good way. The Buffalo Bills went and changed their practice time, so Sammy Watkins is not going to join us.
No, come on!
We're hoping for tomorrow.
Weather in Buffalo. Usually it's fire in Buffalo that changes things. Like towering infernos that change the schedule of sporting events. But it's weather.
We pitched the prospect of just simply telling Sammy Watkins to get off the field during practice so he could talk to us. And for some reason, they didn't go for that, which I don't understand. Clearly, they do not know who we are. So that's fine.
I'm not going to lie. I'm disappointed.
Sorry. They don't know who we think we are. So no Sammy Watkins this morning. That's too bad. I'm very disappointed.
He was busy jumping over buildings on the way to practice because he's so dynamic.
Hopefully we'll get him tomorrow. That is the hope. Anywho.
I'm disappointed.
More of your Blue Jay phone calls at 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, or *590. Blue Jays have 9 games in their upcoming homestand, which starts tomorrow against Tampa Bay. 7-ish first pitch. We'll have the game for you on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, you can watch it on Sportsnet. What do you think they need to do in this homestand? How many wins? What are you looking at? What would make you happy? What do you think is the realistic number?
9.
Well, of course, 9 would be, we'd be thrilled with it.
Oh.
But you're asking for 3 series sweeps, which I think is over asking. 7 would be delightful. Would be fantastic. That would be great. Now, talking about how many games are left, Blue Jays have 35 games left to go. And here's some bad news. This is the playoff teams, the wildcard teams that they're looking up at. Now, the Yankees have 3 games in hand. Cleveland's got 2 games in hand. Seattle's got 1 game in hand. Detroit's got 3 games in hand. That's not good. That's not going to help.
When I hear games, you still have to win those games in hand. And that's the thing that people always get maybe ahead of themselves. Oh, they got 3 games. That's assuming they're winning every game, too.
No, it's not. What I'm looking at is they have a chance of another win.
Just imagine this, though. The Blue Jays, and playing the fantasy lane again, 9 straight wins, 10-game winning streak for this Blue Jays team.
Now you got a team.
Wow. On fire. By the way, that last caller tweeted us. He said this should be a 95-win team if they didn't have injuries.
95-win team?
My goodness. Really? This starting rotation?
I disagree, but we appreciate his call.
Tom Icky has been pretty good.
Tom in Waterloo on the Jeff Blair Show. I've run out of responses. Tom in Waterloo on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What you got, Tom?
You
got
to have a couple left. Let's win tomorrow's, and then we'll go from there. Guys, I heard something a little while back there. Following the Farrell and Escobar mess, I'm just wondering if Alex just didn't buy himself 3 years here. You know, I've been with these guys for 2 years. I'm still with them. I mean, he made some good deals. The press put him in the World Series. He warned us in camp. He's got the minor leagues all set up, Buffalo instead of Vegas. Scouting staff. He's got coaches, many ex-Jays all the way down through there, instructors. And we got an awful lot of nice young kids coming up here on the starting end. And notice yesterday the minors, the kids are starting to move up, the nays and stuff like that. So I'm just wondering if that guy just didn't buy himself 3 years here. And he's taking a lot of the crap. And maybe one of these days he's going to bear some fruit from it. Anyway, guys, I had to call.
All right, Tom, I'm glad you did. Thank you. When someone says that he bought himself 3 years, I kind of feel like he's pulled the wool over someone's eyes,
right?
Where he can continue to work for 3 more years, and I don't see it that way.
No, but again, it takes time in baseball. You have to nurture something.
Yeah.
And again, has he made some great moves? Yeah. Has he made some bad moves? All right, Dickie. Yeah, he has.
See, and you know
what?
When talking about the acquisition of Dickie and the timing of it.
Listen, Syndergaard and Darno haven't lit it up yet either, so.
The situation the Blue Jays were in at that time was they were, quote-unquote, going for it. So, yes, you're going to have to give up young talent for in overpaying in a deal to bring back players that can help you win now. And the fact that he was coming off a Cy Young award-winning year, you know, many felt like, well, now we've got our top-of-the-rotation guy. Now we've got a Cy Young winner that's going to be a number one guy. And frankly, I didn't think he was going to be that good, but I didn't think he would be this poor at times, where my expectations of R.A. Dickey is, hey, if he gives us 6 innings and he gives up 3 runs or so, that would be a good start for R.A. Dickey.
To me, it's always
my expectation.
There's always a caveat when R.A. Dickey starts. Oh, you know, hopefully he gives us some innings if he can only give up 3 or 4 runs.
My expectation.
But that's where we're at. But that's what I mean. That's where we're at.
Yeah.
For a guy who was supposed to be a front of the rotation guy.
Well,
he was brought in to be that guy.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he's just fallen off the face of the earth.
You know, if he's a solid 3-4 guy, that's what you have now.
You can even argue he's been the most consistent Blue Jays pitcher this season.
In that you know what to expect from him.
That and, you know.
And he gives you innings.
Consistent-wise, he's had a few horrendous starts this season. But generally speaking, he's been fairly consistent. Can't say that for this entire rotation.
I think you know what you're getting in R.A. Dickey.
Well, that's what I'm, but that's the frustrating thing, though.
So that would be consistent.
And it's not like when Marcus Stroman takes it, you're like, oh, man, he's going to throw some heat in there. He's going to look good. He's going to dominate out there.
Or he goes three innings, which has happened a couple times.
Sure. But R.A. Dickey, you just hope. You hope the knuckleball's working. You hope the humidity at Rogers Center is just right.
That's where we're at with R.A.
Dickey. The sun is in a certain degree in the sky.
You could do worse than him. Victor and Milton on the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Victor, a 9-game homestand, Toronto Blue Jays. What do you want out of them, realistically?
Realistically.
I had to throw that caveat in there.
You guys said it earlier. I mean, essentially, these guys are going to have to go 714, which is a couple more than Hank Aaron's home run total. Listen, I agree with you guys total. You are what your record says you are. You know what the first, you know how does a loser start a sentence? If only. If only this, if only that. It makes no sense whatsoever. You are what your record says. You know what? I love old Chinese proverbs, and I'm going to mangle one just for Alex Anthopoulos. It says, general manager who goes to bed with itchy bum wakes up with stinky fingers. Listen, you know, at the end of the day,
enjoy your breakfast, everybody.
You know what? Your namesake, your kid's namesake, when that did not pan out, because he was the ace in the hole for this whole project of getting from the Miami Marlins, when that didn't work out, we were in big trouble because we don't have a bona fide ace. And they should have addressed that for the whole off season. He slept on this. So obviously, right now, this is what's going on. I'm thinking it's not realistic for us to go 7-14. So I don't even care if we go 9-0 on this homestand. The bottom line is we might lose 9 in a row after that. So what should you be doing? That's a question I want to ask you guys. I know what I would be doing. I start planning for the future. The future could be next year. It could be 2 years from now. But listen, you are who you say you are, what your record says you are. They were last year. The guys that they got from the Marlins finished last the year before. Guess what? There's something not right here. If you don't believe in chemistry, then just look at the record of these guys, not just here in the Blue Jays, but also from the Marlins. So we have to start dumping some big salaries and start either moving sideways or moving a step ahead. So I'm asking you guys, like, knowing that we're not going to make the playoffs, both of you, what do you do right now if you're Alex? Thanks, gentlemen.
All right, Victor, thank you. And we don't know that yet. And I we have to see what the next 35 games look like. If they play well but fall short, it gives you hope. But if they're terrible, then maybe you think about, and John Morosi, we had him on earlier this hour. He was on the morning show yesterday with Brady and Ennis in for Walker. And he was talking about what the Blue Jays should do. Like, should they go younger? Like, and it all depends on if Melky Cabrera comes back with the Toronto Blue Jays. And John, and I think we're both in agreement, George, where you want to get maximize and continue to do so what you get out of Bautista and Encarnacion and move forward with them. But do you start thinking about going younger and maybe moving a Mark Burley and moving an R.A. Dickey, you know, to fill some holes elsewhere? And, you know, maybe you get some starting pitching outside the organization, but see what you have within the organization to move everybody up. Might be a shift.
I think you have to stick with the big guns in this lineup.
You do.
Encarnacion and Bautista. But is the All-Star break next season the finish line for this team? If they're not contending by the All-Star break next year, is that the time when you blow it up? Because I don't think the winter you can blow this entire team up. Because as you mentioned, you have two unbelievable guys in the middle of the lineup in Encarnacion and Bautista.
Well, a 1-2 punch like that, you don't see that often in baseball.
You kind of just try to add, and Alex Anthopoulos can add to this Blue Jays team. And we don't know what they're going to do this winter, although this season isn't over quite just yet. But the offseason is definitely going to be interesting for the Blue Jays. And again, it's going to be the same old song and dance. Add to the starting rotation as well.
And we'll see if they actually do that from outside the organization in this upcoming offseason. But there's 35 games left to go.
Max Scherzer, just get him.
Sure.
Why not?
Okay.
Jeff, if they wanted to sign him.
Wow, George, that was easy.
If they wanted to sign him.
That was easy.
They can just overpay and he'll come.
Excellent.
$35 million a year. Here he goes, Scherzer.
We'll have a look at we'll get a little tennis talk. Jeannie Bouchard, disappointing once again. Tom Tebbit, co-host of Aces, is going to join us next hour. Mark Spector of Sportsnet.ca, a little hockey thrown in there. That's where we're going to start as we'll kick off the 10 o'clock hour, talking about the captaincy in the National Hockey League. Is that something that's overrated or not? We'll discuss. It's George Russick. I'm Jeff Sammet. And for Jeff Blair, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.